John's Gospel, chapter number 7. John's Gospel, chapter number 7. Last week we left off where the chief priest and the Pharisees had sent officers to arrest Jesus. In their minds, now I want you to get this, in their minds, Jesus had crossed the line yet again. Jesus had already broken the Sabbath in their eyes. Now, he hadn't broken the Sabbath, but in their eyes, he was a Sabbath breaker. Not only had he healed the impotent man on the Sabbath and commanded the man to pick up his bed and walk on the Sabbath, but he had rambled on in the temple teaching doctrine, trying to justify what he'd done on the Sabbath, and they didn't like that. The nerve of him. In fact, Jesus had the very nerve to use Moses and the law to say that what he had done on the Sabbath was okay with his Heavenly Father and was not a violation of the Sabbath. And in the Pharisees' mind, Jesus was totally forgetting about the Pharisees' traditions that they had established. You know why that was? Because those traditions were not the Word of God. And didn't he know that they were the leaders of the Jews? I mean, they looked at themselves as being the leaders, and they were the leaders. But Jesus outranked them. Jesus was God in the flesh. And they did not like being set back. They wanted to be in the forefront. And Jesus was taking the limelight. The limelight that used to belong to them now belonged to Jesus. And they didn't like that even one little bit. And added to that, Jesus was making what they saw as some very outlandish claims. In fact, they actually saw it as blasphemy. The very nerve of Jesus claiming to have been sent from above by his Heavenly Father. See, they fully understood what Jesus meant by that. He meant that he was God's Son in human flesh, making him equal with God. That's right. It's because he was. Amen. He was the Emmanuel, the God with us. That was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah. And, you know, they could not have him talking in such a, what they considered a blasphemous way. And so they were intent on doing him in. They were intent on taking his life away as quickly as they could. And now, on top of all of this, the talk of the people who were listening to Jesus we saw last week was sounding like some of them were buying into Jesus somehow being the Christ. I mean, there were still some questions about it, but they were saying, is not this the Christ? Maybe the Pharisees figured out this is the Christ. And they were misunderstanding a lot about Christ, but they were buying into Jesus somehow being the Christ and the Messiah from what the Pharisees could tell. And they could not have that. And so what they did is they sent their temple officers to arrest Jesus. And that is where we left off. Let's pick up in verse number 33. John's chapter number 7, verse number 33. Says, then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come. And we see the confusion here. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go into the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? Yeah, they were thinking he was going to go out of town. And go where the Gentiles were. I mean, he's speaking this in Jerusalem. Verse 36. What manner of saying is this that he said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. Now, we'll leave off reading there. The Jews of Jesus' day were tired of being under the oppressive Roman rule. They were so longing for the Messiah to be manifested because they thought that the Messiah was going to come, put down the Roman rule, take the kingship of Jerusalem, and rule at Jerusalem. They believed that the Christ would be the one to come and deliver them from all oppression. But as we began to see last week, these folks had a misunderstanding about Jesus and about his role as the Christ. Today we will see how that their misunderstanding about Christ only broadened as Jesus continued to teach here. And he's continuing to teach them there in the temple. And we're becoming familiar with a growing dissatisfaction right now in our nation, aren't we? I mean, as we look around us here in our own dear land, people are looking for someone or something they can believe in, or a cause that they can support to cure perceived ills and oppression of society. And now this is all leading to something, okay? What it's leading to is they're going to be hankering after the Antichrist when he is finally brought to light. And he's going to look like the answer. And if you'll remember, just a few short years ago, there were some misguided youth that were headed to or trying to head to the Middle East in order to join the terrorist organization ISIS. Remember that? And they thought that ISIS was about bringing in the change that they hoped for. Well, most of them got there and found out ISIS wasn't what they thought it was. Islam was not and is not somehow creating the utopia they had hoped for. And even recently, we have seen many misguided folks getting involved with leaders and movements that they hope will bring about the changes they think are needed without even understanding what these groups stand for. I mean, the BLM movement is a Marxist movement. Now, if you will search it out, you will find that. It's a communist-led Marxist movement seeking to do away with life as we know it in the United States. They totally ignore how socialism has failed. There's a growing socialist movement thinking that somehow it's going to be better for our country than capitalism. All you got to do is look at Venezuela. It was a totally failed experiment there. Cuba has been failed for many years. Anywhere socialism has been, it has brought failure. And there are those who attach themselves to movements such as the BLM movement. However, they fail to see the hypocrisy in the name of the movement. Black lives only matter when those black lives fit the twisted agenda of the BLM movement. They're not really for black lives. They exclude the unborn black lives in the womb that are murdered. There's more of them murdered every year than there are of any other. It excludes the black lives who are members of law enforcement and military. I mean, they're in their face and they're calling them the N-word and they're cussing them out and they're making just all kinds of trouble trying to for these black police officers. It excludes the black lives of those who were opposed to the desecration and removal of our nation's historical monuments. I mean, it excludes the black lives of those who are Republican or otherwise conservative in their political stand. The only black lives of those that BLM say matter are the ones that they say matter. Okay? So there are those who will join to that group. There are some who are joining themselves to Antifa, whose stated desire is to disrupt, cause chaos, and overthrow our nation. They beat no bones about it. That's what they're about. It claims to be against fascism while it displays the very characteristics of fascism and Nazism. There's a growing crescendo by so-called progressives. I don't like that word, progressives. It just means liberal is all it means. They're trying to abolish law enforcement, laws, and prisons. Well, that's going to only bring anarchy, which will result in further unrest and most probably bring about another civil war. These are some very perilous times indeed that we see. But back to our text here. Here in John's Gospel account, we see the growing movement that's going to eventually result in the crucifixion of Christ and his burial. Yeah? His arrest is not too far down the road here. His arrest, his trial, and his crucifixion. And we see at this point that Jesus had begun some of his greatest teachings concerning himself. He was confronting both his enemies and his detractors. His desire was to do his Father's will, which included his provision for mankind of the gospel. Jesus came to give his life for the sin of mankind. That was his primary mission. Everything else was a side issue. The primary mission was giving himself for our sin. Yet his enemies continually tried to thwart him. A lot of that came because of their misunderstanding of Christ, but other of it came because of their rejection of Christ as he revealed himself. They did not believe he was the Son of God. In fact, they didn't believe that he had any connection with God at all. I mean, they held him out as a an anomaly that, you just need to stay away from. So we see that Jesus spoke to these folks about the time he would leave the earth, there in verse 33 and 34. And then we see the misunderstanding and confusion it brought in verse 35 and 36. As we've noted earlier, the religious leadership of Jesus' day, the Pharisees, were now actively trying to arrest Jesus and kill him because of his supposed Sabbath breaking, his miracles, and his teachings about God and himself. They were unbelievers. They did not believe what he was teaching, and they believed it was all heresy, and so they were seeking to do Jesus in. Now, first thing, people were confused about who Jesus is and what he came to do. Like so many folks in our day, these folks did not understand who Jesus truly is. They did not understand that his ultimate mission was to make a way for them to go and be with God and get to God and go to heaven eventually. Jesus came primarily to give his life to provide salvation for them and us and the rest of this lost and dying world. But confusion reigned. And can I tell you that confusion still reigns in our day and time? In fact, we see it increasing rather than decreasing. This poll that I'm going to quote you comes from a poll 6 years ago. You know, we have gone way farther downhill today than where we were 6 years ago. This is a 2014 poll of Americans. This research was done by Barna Research. They're folks that do a lot of research. And listen to these results. At that time, 2014, only 56% of adults said they believed that Jesus was God. See, they had some of the same problems that the Pharisees had. While 26% said he was only a religious or spiritual leader on the same level as Muhammad and Buddha. Now, listen, Muhammad and Buddha, they're still in the grave. Jesus got up out of the grave. That's what makes him different. The remaining 18% said they weren't for sure whether Jesus was divine or not. And of those who were considered millennials at the time, in 2014, only 48%. The younger you got, the lower the numbers got as those that were believing that Jesus is God. And if they did that same poll today, only the Lord knows what it would show. I believe it'd be much worse than it was then. Americans were also conflicted on whether Jesus committed sins during his earthly life. 52% agreed either strongly or somewhat that while he lived on the earth, Jesus Christ was human and committed sins like other people. 52% believed that Jesus committed sins. Well, if he committed just even one, he couldn't be Savior. In him is no sin. There was none in him. He was the perfect sinless Son of God. There's only 46% that agreed with Jesus being sinless. And 2% weren't sure. Now, we know that in these politically correct times that we are living in, that it is not very well received when we preach the truth that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. Yet he is. See, he's not a way. He is the way, the truth, the life. Period. You say, well, that's just being intolerant. No, I'm just being biblical is what it is. We follow the Bible. We go by what the Word of God says. Jesus Christ Himself said He was the way, the truth, and life, and that no man could get to the Father but by Him. Now, realize that one's belief about Jesus has everything to do with one's eternal destiny. It does. Who do you believe Jesus to be? So the people were confused about who Jesus is and what He came to do. Secondly, people were confused about where Jesus said He was going. Jesus repeatedly taught the people about who He was and what He came to do, but many didn't get it. Now, I kind of understand a little bit about what Jesus was going through. You can talk till you're blue in the face, and some people just don't get it. They don't get that you can preach the truth all you want to, and they'll go in one ear and out the other. Here we see that He was telling the people that He was only going to be with them, quote, a little while, unquote. And that did not jive with their idea of who Messiah is, and it was not what they were looking for in their Messiah. Remember what I said? They were looking for Messiah to come, deliver them from the rulership of Rome, to do away with the Roman Empire and begin to be their king. That's what they were looking on. They had their own ideas about Messiah, what He would be and what He would do. And they wanted the Messiah to be what they wanted Him to be and do what they wanted Him to do. But Jesus' purpose and ministry, as well as the time that He had left on this earth, listen, it was determined by His heavenly Father. It was determined by Him. Not by the Jewish rulers who wanted to murder Him. We're going to see some failed attempts here. One of the failed attempts is these officers they sent to arrest Jesus wound up listening to Jesus, and they didn't arrest Him. This crowd that wanted to make Him king and have Him overthrow Rome, what they wanted was not what determined what Jesus was here for. See? Jesus is not here for your will. He's here for His will, what He came to do. Jesus' earthly ministry in the flesh would only last about 3 to 3.5 short years. But during that earthly ministry, Jesus was busy, very busy. And every last bit of His ministry was determined by His Heavenly Father. Was it driven by anybody else? Was it determined by anybody else? Only by what His Heavenly Father wanted Him to do. And truly, the impact He made in that short period of time was greater and wider than any other person who has ever lived. No one has had the impact like Jesus Christ. Because He's God, He's going to have a greater impact. Amen? He just is. And the reason He left such a great impact with His life has to do with both who He is, God in the flesh, as well as that scene of His earthly life. It's coming later on down the road at Mount Calvary where He lays life down to pay the sin debt of the world. That was the crowning achievement of what He did, what He accomplished when He came. In our day and age, there are an ever-increasing number of people who are desperately trying to make Jesus into something else. Some see Him not as God in the flesh, but as nothing more than a great man who was just another religious icon or figure. They do this because if they acknowledge Jesus to be God, then that puts them in a precarious position personally. Okay? An acknowledgement of Jesus as God in the flesh and the only way to God and salvation interferes with the way that they want to live their lives. If Jesus indeed is God, Lord, and the only Savior, and by the way, He is, okay, then it requires something of them that so many of them are not ready to either acknowledge or accept. Jesus came for God's purposes and not for their own selfish purposes. And that's not what they wanted, even though it was what they and all of mankind needed. So they were indeed very confused. Listen, we all needed a Savior. And thank God that he sent his only begotten Son to us to be that Savior. Now, while the people of his day loved Jesus for some of the things that were going on, I mean, they loved him for feeding the multitudes with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We've already been there. I mean, that they, boy, that was great. In fact, they come back the next day wanting breakfast. They did. And they were they come back next day thinking, boy, that first meal was good. Let's see what Jesus has on the menu today. And they loved Jesus. That was the miracle worker, you know, who was not the like. If you got a relative that's blind and Jesus makes them see, or you got one that's lame and Jesus makes them walk, or they're deaf and Jesus makes them hear, what's not the like about that? They liked those things. They loved Jesus that was the one who could cast out demons. Boy, that was a wonderful thing. But they hadn't realized that Jesus' ministry on earth would be short-lived. See? They didn't realize that he would soon return to the one who had sent him, namely God the Father. And so we see they missed what Jesus was saying here. They totally missed it. It's like over their head. Boom. What they failed to realize is the nature and the importance of the main earthly ministry that Jesus came to do. Many of them, even his own disciples, okay, let's talk about this as disciples. Many of them, including his disciples, would not realize the importance of his death, his burial, until after his resurrection. Yeah. If they had, they wouldn't have been so sad. If they had, they wouldn't have fled the scene. You know, they thought Jesus was gone. Here they'd followed Jesus. They thought Jesus was the hope. They thought Jesus was going to be the ruler. In fact, they talked about among themselves about who was going to be greatest in the kingdom. Remember that? Yeah. But that's not what Jesus came that first time for. After his resurrection, they got it. But not until. When he showed himself alive, they got it. Scripture reveals that even Jesus' own disciples were confused, though, at this time. Let's take Peter, one of the closest disciples. He was a part of the inner circle. Peter, James, and John, they were the inner circle. And Peter, of the three, those three, Peter probably was the closest to the Lord. And John chapter number 13, verse 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Where's he going? He's going to heaven. Going back to his heavenly Father. Oh, you'll follow me later. You can't go right now, but you know, when your time on earth is done, you'll follow me. Or Thomas in John chapter 14, verse number 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? See, they didn't understand where Jesus was talking about, where he was going somewhere. So even they misunderstood and were confused as to where Jesus was going and what Jesus was talking about here. They probably looking at one another going, I don't know, what does he mean? However, if Jesus is truly who he said he is, and he is, and he is alive right now at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and he is, okay, then his teaching that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by him, okay, John 14:6, has some severe consequences if not believed and followed. Oh, you're free to believe. You know, we're not intolerant in saying that you can't believe what you want to believe. People can believe what they want to believe. But what we're saying is, if you believe anything other than the gospel, there's no salvation in that. You can believe wrongly if you want to. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name. Only Jesus. Now, there are those who would love to convince us that Jesus is still dead, and so his religion is dead, and needs to be buried and cast off as well. And by the way, part of these groups that are going around right now in our day and time want to do away with Christian churches. They see us as part of the problem. They say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you're blinded to what's going on if you haven't seen, because it's coming in many different directions right now. People want to have salvation their way. Well, that may be the way that Burger King started out. You could have it your way, but that is not the way of Jesus Christ. You come His way if you're going to go. They want to change who Jesus is, and they want to change what He said, and they want to redo both Jesus and salvation into their own image. Listen, folks, it will not work. There's some people that the Jesus that they talk about is not the Jesus of the Bible. He's not the Jesus that we're studying about here. Oh, they think that He is, but they don't understand Jesus. They misunderstand Him. Don't be confused as to who Jesus is, what He came for, and where Jesus went. So many folks are spiritually confused in our day and age, just as so many were in Jesus' earthly ministry. Listen, Jesus is not a momentary fix for a physical or emotional need. I can't tell you how many people in a year come by and they're looking for a quick fix of something. Okay, either they need food for the moment, they need rent for the week. Yeah, they live out of motels, want rent for the week, you know. Or they want something else. They want a momentary fix, and they think that the church is supposed to do that. They see Jesus as being a momentary fix for the problems that they're facing. But listen, Jesus is not a momentary fix for a physical or emotional need. Jesus is not just a nice guy who taught nice things and did nice things so that we could be nice people. That's not what He did. Now, Jesus is the very Son of God who came to seek and to save that which is lost. After He paid our sin debt, He arose and ascended back to His heavenly Father who sent Him, and He is there today making intercession for believers, and He's coming again to receive those who have believed on Him to Himself. And I believe He's coming very soon. How soon? We can't put a date on it, a date or time. But when He does come and receive us to Himself, then He's going to pour out His judgment on this earth during a 7-year tribulation period. And at the end of that tribulation period, He will come back with us, the saints, with those same saints. He's going to come back with the saints to rule and reign on earth for a literal 1,000-year period. Now, the confusion about Jesus is not new. And it's only going to get worse as we approach His coming again. As I said before, and let me remind you, people are looking, they're looking for a Messiah, a fix or an answer to the world's problems. They're going to find what they think He is. Their definition for that, what they think Jesus is all about, they're going to find an antichrist. They're going to find that He's not what He claims to be. Now, the Jews were confused about where Jesus said He was going because they were confused about who Jesus is to begin with. I wonder this morning in closing, are you confused? I hope not. Please don't misunderstand Jesus like they did. Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus came to die for our sin. Jesus did die for our sin. Jesus did arise from the grave. Jesus did show Himself alive on this earth for 40 days. Jesus did ascend back to His heavenly Father, and He is our great high priest making intercession for us right now, and Jesus is coming again. You better get ready. Are you ready this morning? I trust that you are. And if you're not ready, come get ready. Amen. And you need to be helping others get ready. People need Jesus in a bad way. And say, well, a lot of them aren't going to listen. Yeah, but maybe some will listen. Yeah? We're to spread. It's not up to us to see folks get saved. It's up to us to share the gospel. Okay? Share the gospel in the power of the Holy Ghost. Leave the results to God. You can't save anybody. I can't save anybody. All we can do is tell them what Jesus has done for them. It's for them to receive or refuse. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for the fact that we have the truth. And Lord, we know that the confusion in our society is great, just as it was in the days that you walked on this earth. And Lord, some of them never did get it. And there's a lot around us that never will get it. But Lord, there are some that will. Help us to share the gospel, those of us that are saved. Help us to be diligent to share who Jesus truly is and what He can do for their life. And Lord, if there's one here today that doesn't know You as the Lord and Savior, pray today will be the day that they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Have Your way in the invitation, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.